A man's name is signed to two documents. One is a piece of paper money that becomes worthless almost as soon as it's printed. The other is a land grant that founds a public school system for a nation. Both were signed by the same man.
And that man was Mirabeau Bonaparte Lamar, born this week in history on August 16, 1798. Welcome to the Masonic History feature from Johnson City Lodge No. 561. I am Brother Archivist.
And I'm Brother Orator. Brother Archivist guards our record, checks the sources, and is always careful to name what we know for certain and what remains tradition.
And Brother Orator helps us turn that record toward its meaning, its context, and the memorable Masonic education it holds for us today. This Masonic historian agent was built by Dr. William Fisher, a Master Mason and proud member of Johnson City Lodge No. 561, to help share careful, engaging knowledge about Masonic history.
Our purpose is simple: to help our brethren, our prospects, and any listener interested in Texas history learn about our past with curiosity, care, and a good dose of source humility.
You can always learn more at johnsoncitylodge561.org or send us questions and source leads at jclodge561@gmail.com. Today we have one story: the complicated, influential, and thoroughly Masonic life of Mirabeau B. Lamar.
He's a fascinating figure. Before he ever saw Texas, he was a man of words and public life in Georgia, a storekeeper, a state senator, the founder of a newspaper.
But that life was shattered by personal tragedy. His wife, Tabitha, died in 1830. He withdrew from public life, lost a couple of races for Congress, and by 1835, he came to Texas. The Handbook of Texas says he came to collect historical data. He was a writer looking for a new story.
And he found himself in the middle of one. The Texas Revolution wasn't a story he was observing, it was one he was now helping to write. He joined the army as a private.
And his rise was meteoric. The day before the Battle of San Jacinto, his bravery in a skirmish saved two Texans, one of whom was Thomas J. Rusk. On the spot, he was commissioned a colonel and given command of the cavalry, from private to colonel in an afternoon.
The new republic promoted him just as fast: Secretary of War, then Vice President, and by December 1838, at just 40 years old, he was the second president of the Republic of Texas.
His presidency, however, was a difficult one, and it's important we say so plainly. His dream of a Texas empire led to the failed Santa Fe expedition. His Indian policy was one of expulsion and war, replacing Sam Houston's diplomacy and costing the Republic millions.
And to pay for it all, the Treasury printed paper money, the famous redbacks, which quickly became almost worthless. A Mason's history isn't about creating flawless heroes. It's about understanding the whole lives of the men who built our institutions, failures and all.
Exactly. But in the middle of that troubled administration, Lamar accomplished something truly lasting. He went before the Texas Congress and argued that a republic's future depends on its people's education.
He gave us that famous line, "The cultivated mind is the guardian genius of democracy." He urged Congress to endow education not with worthless paper money, but with the one thing Texas had in abundance: land.
The Act of January 26, 1839 did just that. It set aside 3 leagues of land in every county for public schools, plus another 50 leagues for 2 universities. The schools themselves wouldn't be organized for decades, but the endowment was secured.
That's the core of the story. The redback notes he signed are museum pieces. The land he set aside is still paying dividends for Texas schoolchildren today. It's a profound lesson in what endures.
His Masonic life fits right into this period. He was a member of Harmony Lodge No. 6 in Galveston, which was chartered in 1840. The lodge's original ledger includes his signature among the founders of that city and the Republic.
Imagine that scene: the President of the Republic in a lodge room with merchants and leaders in a fraternity whose own Grand Lodge was barely 2 years old. In a new country with no old institutions, the lodge was a place to practice building things that last.
After his presidency, Lamar's life continued. He fought in the Mexican-American War, served in the Texas legislature, and was a U.S. diplomat to Nicaragua and Costa Rica. He also published a book of his poetry, Verse Memorials, in 1857.
He was always that writer he set out to be, even as a soldier and a president.
He died in 1859 and was buried at his plantation in Richmond. His grave is now in the old Masonic cemetery there. And that cemetery has its own Masonic origin story, beginning in 1825, when one early settler, William Morton, buried a fellow Mason and raised a brick tomb over him, thought to be the first Masonic landmark in Texas.
So the second president of Texas rests in soil that Masons consecrated to a brother before the Republic even existed. The story comes full circle.
And Texas Masonry has carried his educational legacy forward. The Grand Lodge of Texas has sponsored Public Schools Weeks since 1950, and since 1988, it has awarded the Mirabeau B. Lamar Medal for Excellence in Education.
For us here at Johnson City Lodge No. 561, this isn't abstract history. Every public school in Blanco County stands on the principle Lamar established. When we honor our local students and teachers, we are settling an old family debt.
His empires of territory failed. His paper money vanished. But the patient, endowed institution he built for people he would never meet, that endured.
And that is precisely what Freemasonry asks of us, to take the rough stone of the present and work it into something true and lasting for the future. Mirabeau Lamar's life is a powerful reminder that our truest legacy is what we build for others. Thank you for joining us.
We hope you'll join us again for our next feature. Until then, from all of us at Johnson City Lodge No. 561, travel safely.